Christians who are terrifically interested in going to heaven can't overestimate Bible study. So we've gathered here again tonight as the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, on our way to heaven for the purpose then of studying the wondrous works of our Almighty God. We're going to talk about these in three or four different ways or realms, but we're going to start off like this tonight. First, a few just simply preliminaries. Notice on the chart there, many of God's works are so commonplace that it numbs our astonishment. A beautiful field of violence or whatever, or that's the work of God. But how many times can we pick up even a rose and look at it and just pass it on, put it down on the table, say, that's a pretty rose. But all these things from the very beginning of time are God's works. And Jesus says in John the 6th chapter that my Father works and now I work. The Father worked at creation, as we're going to see in a few minutes. But then after creation, the 6 days were done and man sinned, he began another work. And the other work is why we're here tonight, because he's busy working on us. And we'll see about that. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Suppose we saw, I said it, we can't underestimate it. Suppose we saw then a field of violets for the first time, and we take sunrise and sunset, so commonplace. Suppose you walked out one morning and you'd never seen the sunrise before, and you saw it in all of its beauty. Or you came to the evening and you saw the first sunset in your life. What would you think? And yet there's been so many of them, and there's been so many millenniums with all of this going on, that we sort of just take it as ordinary stride. However, now, our study is going to concern God's wondrous works that confirm God's word is true. He gave us a lot of beautiful things in the world, but they're there for our admiration. He wanted to make us happy and give us a pleasant surroundings. But our study is going to be confined to those wonderful works in the Bible that serve for the purpose of telling the world, my word is true. It's absolutely true. And so then John 14:11, if you believe on account of the works themselves. Jesus said, you know, you think you believe, some people believe, some don't believe, but believe me when you see my works. And he was going to climax that one day when they nailed him to the cross and he came off, and on the third day he was going to rise from the dead. God's glory. And yet, in spite of all of these wonderful works, people still today curse God. People still today live an atrocious life. And yet it's there, and it has been there through the years for everybody to see that wanted to see it. Nothing is more important than the Word of God. It's the formula for eternal life, yet it's mocked and despised of men. And that's why we're here tonight. Because the Bible says, come you out and be you separate and touch not the unclean thing. Christians really appreciate that, at least most of them do. And we're coming here tonight because we're not of the world. We're the family of God. We're on our way to heaven. And so we're here to learn more about these wonderful works of God. During this quarter, we will be looking at the wonders of God's four creations. First of all, we'll look briefly at God's wondrous works of the physical creation. And you can read about that as we see here in Genesis 1 through 3. But we're not going to stay much long, take much time on that. It took 6 days for that. This other creation I'm going to talk about has taken millenniums, and he's not through with it yet. Two, we will notice God's will for procreation. You ever think about the baby being a miracle? Well, in this way, the birth is normal between the relationship of a man and a woman. But when it's born and a doctor spanks him on the bottom and he goes, he comes alive in this world. He's a creature of God. My mother was a nurse. She said, you can talk about all kinds of miracles you want to. And of course, we're talking about this in a way that we understand. And Mama says, there's no miracle in the world like the birth of the baby when it takes that first breath. She was a nurse and she'd been there many times. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that, and maybe I've said enough about it already. But this is going to last as long as the world lasts, as long as the last man's here and the last woman. Three, most of our study concerns, however, as I said in the beginning, the wondrous works of spiritual recreation. Did you know that your spirit has been recreated if you're a Christian? Did you know it was ruined in the Garden of Eden when man then transgressed the Word of God? Satan got to them with the great temptation. We may talk about that for a minute, maybe in a week or two. But anyway, this is the works of spiritual recreation. Look at this, church, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. You are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So something great happened when you became a Christian, when I became a Christian, when we were dipped in that water, came coming up as a believer and a penitent believer, confessed believer. We came up then with the old ruined spirit gone, renewed, recreated, standing then clean before the Almighty God, because nobody unclean is going to be able to go to that home up there where all is holiness and clean. If you don't love holiness now, you're never going to go to heaven. But that's the basic difference between the family of God and the world out there that's interested in itself, so much so it's destroying itself. It's been trying to destroy itself for years, millenniums. But we Christians are here tonight because we underwent this cleansing. We'll talk about that too a little bit later. For our study, then we'll close if we make it through. Our study will close with the eternal creation. John 14, 2. Notice over there on the right side, that's in preparation now. I've got that scripture there, 14, 2, because Jesus said when he was ready to depart the disciples, he knew he was going to die the next day. He's going to go away, he'll send a comforter. But he says, if I go away, I'll send a comforter. But he said something else. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Do you know that? I don't know where he's finished or not, but he said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Now, this is an eternal creation that's going to be presented to us when the time comes. In Galatians, Paul said, the time is ready, or the time comes. Fullness of time is the way he said it. So we now begin our study with Moses' record of the beginning creation. We're going to have take a little time with the physical creation. Then we're going to move on a little bit later. But this is where we're going to begin. So then our screen is dark because all was a dark void before God spoke. Now that's there for a purpose. It's the beginning words in the Bible. From now on, from creation all on, there is a separation between light and dark. And the difference in that separation is made by the Word of God. And so beginning in Genesis then, when Moses began to write the first letters, and he said that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and it was dark and void, it was because it was without God's Word. And the heart today without God's Word is dark and void. And the only thing in the world that's going to clean it up and get it ready for heaven is the Word of God. God is going to have to speak to it, and He's going to have to listen. And He speaks to us through the Word of God that He's revealed. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So void of darkness was over the face of the deep, Genesis 1:2. So God spoke into being his wondrous work of physical creation, Genesis 1-3. The first word set the theme for God's spoken word that falleth clear on to eternity. And I'm going to be emphasizing this in the next few slides by showing in the middle of the screen that what really counts is the Word of God. Without the Word of God, we're nothing. We're going to get to it. I'm getting ahead again. We're going to get to it in a slide or two. But one day, Jesus gave a lesson. And when he got through, the people said, the Greek, it doesn't say this in King James Version, but in the Greek it says, they couldn't stomach this. And so they all began to leave. And Jesus turned to the disciple and said, are y'all going away too? You know what Peter said. He answered, for you and me. To whom will we go, Lord? You only have the words of life. Now, we're here tonight for that purpose. Because you can't go anywhere else except to the Word of God for eternal life. That's why we're having this Bible study and all other Bible studies that are being conducted. So the first word set the theme, that should have another E on it, should set the theme for God's spoken word that follows. Now, when man ruined his soul with disobedience to God's word, God began the new provisionary work to recreate his spirit by renewing his faith in the Word. Ephesians 2:10, we just quoted that a minute ago, that we are the new creation in Christ. He began millenniums of work to convince man that God's Word is true and Satan is false. John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your... Woo, if we did some preaching like that today, we'd run everybody off, wouldn't we? But he was telling these people, they were telling Jesus he had a devil. He said, the reason why you look at me and say that when I do these good things that I'm a devil is because your father, your sons of the devil yourself. And the way you can tell that is because you are engulfed with his lust. That's your life. Take your life, take my life, measure them, and then say what you said again. God's wondrous works testify to the integrity of his word. That's what they're all there for. Jesus said, I think I quoted a few minutes ago, if you don't believe me for these works' sake. You can't deny that this miracle happened. That I just healed this blind man. That I just then healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever or whatever it was. That he would send a seed, the word, that I will send a seed to defeat Satan. Genesis 3:15. Oh, he's going to get his lick in. He's going to bruise my heel, or the heel of the Savior. But in so doing, in putting the Savior to death, he's going to make it possible for everybody to be alive. And that is the redemption for your sins and my sins. So then he would send a seed to defeat Satan, Genesis 3:15. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, John 10:25. If you don't believe me, look at what I'm doing. And you know, that's important for the church today. People are looking at what we're doing. And if we want them to believe, we better be doing the works. And he's given us a pattern. The testimony of all God's works, beginning from the first one, as I mentioned a while ago in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was dark until God spoke, and then there was light. That wasn't the light of the sun. The sun didn't come till 4 days later. But this was the light of the illumination of God's Word coming. the testimony of all God's work, bear witness that there is nothing more important in this world than a man to believe and obey God's word. Jesus said so in Mark 16:16. Some of the versions try to make it a little nicer, but I like King James Version. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He believeth not shall be damned. And the damnation is coming. It's coming on the day of judgment. And Hebrews, that shouldn't be 9:9, that should be 8:9. Hebrews 5:8-9. Though he were the Son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered, and be made perfect, he became the author of eternal life to all those who would obey him. When Jesus asked his disciples if they were, I just mentioned this, see, if they were going to depart, Peter gave the reply, for the poor in heart for all time, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. John 6:68. Just as God's first works began, all things, by his spoken word, like this, and God said, in the beginning was the word, just so all things will end by his spoken word. No wonder he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. No wonder John said, in the beginning was the word. Christ was in the beginning, that's the spoken word, and he's going to be there when all things are over, when that angel is going to put one foot on land and one foot on sea and say, time shall be no more. That could come during our era. I don't know. It's been here for a long time. May not. But it's coming. Because there it is, Revelation 21:6, when John sums up all 66 books and says, it is done. And in Revelation 10:6, where he said, an angel put a foot on the sea and one on the land and said, time is no longer. You know, if you believe Genesis 1, you got to believe Revelation 22. Because it's all God's library. And it's all here for one purpose. That we might go to heaven by reading it. Meanwhile, now, God's creation is held together by the wondrous work of his word. There it is in 2 Peter 3:7. And that same word of God is keeping the skies and the earth that we have now. They are being kept to be destroyed by fire. So the word that spoke the worlds into existence, the word that's going to speak it out of existence, is the word from Genesis to Revelation 22 that holds it all together. God help us to believe that. Modern skeptic scientists say the universe consists of five elements: time, source, action, space, and matter. I think Brother Billy had referenced that a little bit last Sunday. But anyway, the time, source, action, space, and matter. The word of God spoken by Moses millenniums ago, 1,500 years before Christ, look at this. Moses says, in the beginning, there's your time. He said, God, there's the source. He said, create, there's the action. He said, the heavens, that's space, and the earth, that's matter. And scientists just learned that a few years ago, you know. But Moses talked about that in the Word of God by inspiration 1,500 years before Jesus Christ. Between the Alpha and the Omega, why is our God so adamant about our believing his word? Because in his word is the hope of life, John 6:63. It is the only power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. Without faith in his word, God is not pleased, Hebrews 11:6. And that means this. When he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and you say, I don't believe that, brother, you're in trouble. Just like any other scripture that you say the same thing about. Without faith in the word, man will be destroyed, Mark 16:16. Jesus said to pray, thy will be done, in Matthew 6:16. If he demands that, tells us by command to pray, thy will be done, that demands our study, like being here tonight, because God revealed his will in his word. That's the only way you're going to know it. Now, God will to work a second creation. I talked about that a few minutes ago. You are his workmanship, so we're going to go on. The new creation was by creating a new clean spirit in the man. Here's what he said. When you were baptized, and you were raised up from being baptized, like the Lord commanded in Mark 16:16, Matthew 28, you became clean, your spirit became clean. But how was it clean? It's because you believed the Word, through the Word. And he says, the Word, not in a creed book, not that somebody says, well, that's your opinion or his opinion or whatever, but I have the Word that I have spoken to you, John 13:3. This is the spirit within man is created in this manner. Upon belief in the Word that Jesus was resurrected, 1 Peter 1:3, he is, Peter says, begotten of God by means of hearing the gospel. Paul says it again, 1 Corinthians 4:15. You've been begotten by the gospel. So if you're born again, you're going to have to do it by the Word of God. You're going to have to come to classes like this afterwards to feed upon the Word of God. If this has been genuine in your heart, God's wondrous works when he creates a new clean spirit in a believing, let me look at the time. Oh, I got a little bit here. Believing heart for the abode of the Holy Spirit. Peter declared that to happen when one repents and is baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Jesus called this being born of the water and the Spirit. You read about it in John the third chapter. Now, we've come to a time that I think I'm going to want to end the study tonight, but it's almost 6. I've got 10 more minutes, but not hardly. Anyway, now let's return to the first creation when God spoke these words. Let there be light. And there was light. And God has spoken that light in all of the books in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that light shines in the heart of a believer. He's translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. This was not the light of the sun I mentioned a minute ago. It was the presence of his Holy Spirit. 1 John 1 and verse 5. The lamp of his spoken word. Psalm 119:5. These words that I speak unto you, they're light, and so on. The word that saves man from sin. Job 33:30 says, to bring back his soul from the pit that he may be lighted with the light of life. It's all in the Word. It's all there. The Bible is not for a coffee table ornament, you know, some kind. Why the phenomena of his... Did somebody say something? Why the phenomena of his wondrous works? And here's where we're going to close. To convince man that God's Word is the way of life. The wondrous works of our Almighty God from Genesis to Revelation are to lovingly persuade his man to whom he loves and gave free choice that his Word is the only source of life. The one thing of prime importance is, and we will end on this one, the one thing of prime importance is, Lord, save us, we perish. The disciples said in Matthew 8, there's a storm at sea and Jesus was asleep, but when death looms imminent, all else is out of mind. You don't care about anything else. We're in trouble. Something got to be done. You forget about everything else. And I think when somebody is under the persuasion of the Spirit in God's Word that, hey, I've got to do this. Nothing else matters. Jesus spoke the word and it was calm, Luke 8:24. So we began this study praying for the Master to calm our hearts and save us from the storms of life about us. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Let's be dismissed. Holy Father in heaven, we're thankful for the family of God that gathers on Wednesday night to further study thy word around the country and the world. We're thankful for this group here tonight that we come together as your children for the purpose of helping our minds, edifying us in spirit, that we might drink deeply from the word of life and be helped on the way to that home that's waiting for the faithful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.